En discussion portant sur les questions actuelles.
I should back all the ground except when I'm eating or sleeping.
Unter dem Titel gesprochen, das Ende der Philosophie und die Aufgabe des Denkens.
Set Contra. Radio Filozoficzne.
Hello, David.
Hello again.
It's great to have you here. I would like now to ask you about your new book of Remix Celote, Ethics and Aesthetics After Remix. Can you tell a few words what is this mysterious Remix Celote? What do you mean by this?
Yes, good question. Okay. So the book is about what we are experiencing currently, at the beginning of the 21st century. Much of the creative product that we deal with on a daily basis, whether it be in audio or video or web content, is remixed from previous content. So you have the standard remix that we recognize from the dance club, where you take one piece of music and layer it with another piece of music to create a brand new piece of music. Or we have artworks that recombine various components. The most famous, I think, is probably this Obama poster from 2008, where they used the Che Guevara image and recombined it with a picture of Obama and created this new sort of product as a result of that. And on the web, a lot of the applications that we utilize, especially the Web 2.0 applications, are drawing from different sources and then creating this integrated user interface. So the problem that we're faced with is a problem having to do with intellectual property. Because when you are remixing previously made content to create new content, the question then becomes, well, who owns it? Whose content is it? Where does the creativity take place? Is it creative just to mix previous stuff in a new way? Or do we have to have creativity in this sort of, very classical sense of, creation out of nothing? And there's really a debate now between two camps. We can call one camp the copyright, the other camp the copyleft. The copyright says, in effect, that you cannot copy or reuse anybody's anything. You cannot sample one note of one song without having to pay for it, without having to clear the rights. So it's a very strict understanding of copyright and intellectual property, which seeks to protect the original creator from being used by subsequent purposes. On the copyleft side, there is the recognition that a lot of what we call creativity is simply reusing already existing material, and that there is no creativity without drawing on what came before. So that every new idea is actually the elaboration of an old idea. So between these two positions, you have this incredible debate going on, not only in terms of policy, but also in terms of law and ethics, about who owns what in a digital world in which things can be reused and repurposed, and whether or not this kind of remix approach to creativity is in any way a violation of someone else's intellectual property. And so what the book tries to do is not take sides with the copyright or the copyleft, because that debate will continue again and again, but to try to figure out what both of these sides value in common. And it turns out when you sort of look at the debate as it's constructed currently, both sides of the copyright and the copyleft value the same things. They both value creativity, they both value artistry, and they both value a certain understanding of the creative artist or the author. And so what remixology attempts to do is to really delve into those values, ask where they come from, why they are as powerful as they are in our contemporary culture, and to try to devise an axiology for the 21st century. In other words, a theory of value, both aesthetic value and moral value, for the way that we need to live currently in this climate, in a way that recognizes that remix is not going away, it's here to stay, and we have to come up with a way of responding to it that doesn't demonize it, that doesn't make it just an illegal activity, but also doesn't make it entirely permissible, that, you know, there has to be some limitations on what is acceptable and what is, you know, permitted. So it's an attempt to really chart a new course for ethics and aesthetics in the wake of Remix, and to create a way of thinking about artistry in all realms of human activity, whether it be in audio, video, visual art, web technology, whatever, that can be more open to this new kind of way of producing content, and that can give us some guidance for what we do in the future with regards to our theory of value.
Yeah, maybe it's the future, you know, of art, because we have so many pieces of art, so many styles, that it's now difficult to think of something new. So maybe this remixology, maybe remixes, is something that we will see only in the future, only lifting the cultural heritage that we know and mixing it together. What do you think about it?
You know, I think it's not just an issue for the future. I think it also reverberates backwards into time. So, for example, if you look at a lot of the classic literature in the Western canon, it borrows from previous works. So the Iliad and the Odyssey borrowed from a whole tradition of singers in the Greek tradition. And there is no, you know, right now we think there is no one Homer. It's a conglomerate of people who contributed to those stories. And as a result, this tradition is not just postmodern, it's pre-modern. That the modern period in which we invented this idea of the single artist who invents out of nothing, that's actually the aberration. That's a small blip on the radar. That prior to the modern period, we had remix DJs in the classical period. Homer was a remix DJ. And today we have the remix DJ. So we have to begin to think about our artistry outside the box of this modern artist or this modern author, which is a rather limited way of looking at creativity. And we need to look at both the older tradition and the more recent tradition, in which we recognize that artistry is a much more collaborative, interactive, and culturally engaged activity, where it's not just one man and his work, but rather is a scene of different people all working together, and out of that bubbles up all kinds of interesting new things.
Okay, it also challenges our thinking about creativity, because we traditionally think about creativity as something specifically human, but there are some challenges to this kind of thinking about the way we create art, music, and everything.
Yes. So one of the sort of byproducts of looking at Remix and what it means for human creativity is a recognition that not only are we involved in remixing things, but we can create machines that do the same. So as we begin to explore human creativity through the lens of Remix, we also begin to see ways in which this idea of creativity as somehow special to us, as somehow uniquely human, begins to erode, begins to be less special. So there is two examples I can give that are rather interesting. One is a composer that is a PC-based composer called Emmy, created by a guy by the name of David Cope in California. And Emmy makes classical music, writes scores that are indistinguishable from the masterworks of Bach, Beethoven, and Chopin. And Emmy has written some symphonies that have been performed by major orchestras, and the audience is unable to detect whether this was a piece written by Bach or Beethoven or Emmy. So Emmy's a well-known composer these days, and has done some really interesting work. Another one is Shimon. Shimon is a jazz bot. Shimon plays the marimba, and it's out of Georgia Tech University. And the thing about Shimon that's really interesting is that Shimon can improvise with human musicians in real time, which means that it can do something that we only thought human beings were capable of doing, improvisational jazz. And as a result, Shimon has created some new musical phrasing and some new musical ideas that are uniquely the product of Shimon, not of any human being, but of the machine itself. So as we begin to see the machines taking on roles that we normally would have thought belonged to human beings, we see creativity itself becoming a much more malleable concept. It's not just our thing anymore. It is much more about us and animals and machines, and we need to look at creativity in a more open way, in a much more inclusive way.
Sounds like a very interesting thing to read. So thank you, David, for sharing.
Thank you.